Welcome to Our Thoughts Tonight. Join us as we chat in a mellow mood about music, philosophy, psychology, and anything else that will come to mind. Enjoy.
We are live on Our Thoughts or on Our Thoughts Tonight. I am in human form, and I'm here on the Our Thoughts Tonight podcast with Ashik.
Hello, Ashik is here. Everybody. Hi.
Zach is here.
Hello.
And I'm your host in human form.
Oh, I can't do it again.
How's everybody doing?
Pretty good.
I'm good. Yeah.
It's well, really strange. Delayed. We've got like a screen of ourselves up front here, and it's delayed. We're watching ourselves delayed. It's really weird.
Yeah. God, yeah. How are you?
I'm doing good. Yeah. I'm doing good. Yeah.
Yeah.
It took a while to set this up, and it's my first time doing this sort of a live stream. So if we seem out of sorts, that's probably why.
Yeah.
It's strange.
It is very distracting. How it keeps
doing that.
Yeah.
How are you guys?
Before I say that, I guess the real thing is like, is the Russia thing on my mind?
Is it?
I suppose now it is. Yeah, no. Like, I don't know, because like I'm good, but like then again, should we be taking it more seriously? Yeah, heads up. Our thoughts tonight are about Russia and epistemology, which we'll connect later on. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. I'm good, but like that's kind of on my mind right now. And it's a little bit worrying, I suppose.
It's just strange seeing myself 10 seconds ago.
It is escalating. Yeah. It is escalating. What do you think?
What, me?
Or Zach, what do you think about it? I mean, since you've probably been the least...
aware?
I don't want to say aware, but involved following it.
Yeah, you just watched a 30-second video or something on it.
Yeah.
30 seconds of video.
I don't know. I guess, like, what I said earlier is, like, why would you... God, that's so distracting. Why would you go and conquer, like, another country, like, after all this time... Like, isn't there enough resources and enough things to go around for everybody?
Yeah.
Like, but I don't know. That's just my take on it.
We should.
Couldn't you just like trade or something?
I mean,
ideally.
Yeah. Well, we should clarify what's actually happening.
Yeah.
You know, like, so at least as far as I know, and I haven't followed it that much either, it's like Russian troops are mobilizing the border with Ukraine more so than before, as far as I'm aware. And NATO troops, and I think even some non-NATO troops, are responding with their own mobilizations.
Mm-hmm.
And Ukraine is preparing for war. So, yeah, I mean, to answer your question, I don't know. Because, like, and I think before the podcast, we were talking about this, is like the possibilities are like, okay, there's significant Russian minorities in the Ukraine. Okay. Is that really enough justification for war?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, is it? Probably not. I mean, not in my opinion. I mean, maybe for some people.
Very good comment.
Yeah. Yeah, Putin says no. So,
Wild Donkey says Putin says no rockets in Ukraine pointed at Russia, and Ukraine is not to join NATO, and there will be no invasion. Our government is encouraging this war. I agree.
I mean, yeah. I mean, the thing is, like,
thank you, Wild Donkey, for that.
Yeah. I mean, there was quote unquote the promise, right? Like, where it was like NATO is not supposed to, go beyond this certain border, right? And ever since that, it was kind of an informal like promise by the West.
Sorry, I'm just checking the sound here. Right. We have a really ghetto setup here. Just bear with us, all the inhuman form fans.
Yeah, but yeah, so like that was the informal promise was NATO's not going to reach, I think like beyond Germany or something. And then ever since then, it's kind of been creeping. And so, yeah, I mean, Russia does feel isolated. So I mean, then again, like Russia, I cannot imagine it would want war. I think it's just trying to play its cards right, trying to, show off itself. But I mean, yeah, I mean, let's see. Wild Dog says Biden needs support because his administration is falling apart and our policies are. Yeah, I mean, his administration is like at least viewed bad and like in the media and is like.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Panda.
Yeah.
I agree. I mean, Biden's trying
approval,
to flex.
Yeah, his approval rating is pretty bad. I don't know. I don't want to like shift the blame away from Russia too though, cuz like it's still the one mobilizing. But I know that's what we want too. I mean, we want war. So like, it's kind of a weird situation where like, I mean, I don't know. I would hope Russia would back off, but like, it's, I don't know.
There is an area there in the, I believe in the hot, there's a hot springs that's on the border of Ukraine and Russia. So in that area was for a number of years, territory of Russia or Soviet Union, obviously. Yeah. And Russia wants the resources on that, in that area. And U.S. has stake over the last 20 some years. And this is straight from the RAND Corporation, mm-hmm. that they've had interest. The U.S. has had interest there and has, you know, talked about Ukraine joining NATO and all of that. Yeah. And which would just be, you know, I don't want to say devastating, but that would be a blow to Russian politics because,
yeah.
you know, and they're also sending all sorts of weapons through there. They've helped the Ukraine military since 2014, which is during the Obama administration has escalated it. Mm-hmm. There's been some 13,000 deaths or something since, I believe, if I'm not mistaken. And there's tons of troops and supposedly they're not a part of NATO and they have like this alliance now, the US and Ukraine, which is practically NATO without saying it's NATO.
Yeah. I mean, but that's also a thing. I don't want to sound like a, you know, like a neocon or whatever, but like, I mean, like essentially we're reviewing Ukraine in a very like, you know, like it has nothing, it has no say over what it does kind of thing. You know, it's like, oh, it's either going to be neutral, which is, or like kind of pro-Russia, or it's going to join NATO or at least pretend to be with NATO. And then when you get into like Ukraine's history, that for the past like, what, 7 years, it's been like, you know, this leader and that leader, you know, switching back and forth. And it seems like from what I understood, at least years ago, was that it's generally more comfortable for Ukraine to be pro-Russian, at least in terms of its populace. But it's probably different now with how Russia's been acting. So like, I mean, I don't know. I mean, like, I don't want to take the blame away from Russia. You know, like, it is an aggressive force. I know it's like, it's basically like, you know, the cat, like, or actually a good analogy is like, so I have a hedgehog, right? And like, the hedgehog is afraid when you get close to it. So it like puffs up and it like tries to like poke you, you know? That's kind of what Russia is doing right now. And the thing is, it's not good that it's poking you or trying to poke you, but like, it does feel isolated, but then again, I don't want to take the blame away from them at the same time.
It says, El Sapo Verde says it's equivalent to Russia having defense weapons on Mexican soil.
Yeah. That's
a good, analogy.
Yeah.
How would we put boots on the ground? How could we get tanks into I'm assuming that's compete with Russia.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm sure they could do it. It would cost money.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think anybody's actually looking for a hedgehog. Yeah, I know. Yeah. His name is Benson.
Well,
but I don't think anyone's looking for.
First off, like the U.S. only invades countries that can't defend themselves. That's that's just the truth of the matter. Yeah. So they're not going to make the first move. Yeah. That's evident. But now I think, according to the media, now this is going to lead to the epistemology side of things. Yeah. The media today, or yesterday, I believe, was saying that Russia's supposedly threatening with nuclear attack or some sort of nuclear action. So I don't know how true that is. But
I mean, so like, okay, so this is going to be, let's introduce that. So you said this would lead to epistemology. Like, let's introduce the, I think it's called do you know what the preface paradox is?
I don't.
Okay. So like, I think it's perfect for this. So like a preface paradox, the example that's traditionally given is like when, like let's say you're an author, right? And you research so much about a topic and you write a book, I swear it's going to connect back. But like you write so much and then you've done your research and you're very sure of what you did, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's true basically, but you know that we humans are fallible in our knowledge. So you also have that doubt at the same time. So it's kind of a paradox, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it gets more complicated than that. But the same thing's going on here where like, I am sure the governments of all countries involved. So I'm for sure, I'm 100, almost 100% sure that, I'm not 100% sure, but I'm very certain that all countries involved do not want to go to war and they want to do anything they can to not be in the war. Even the U.S., even though I do believe it's instigating.
They're just flexing. Like,
yeah, or Russia, yeah.
Like Wild Donkey said.
Yeah, but at the same time, it's like, there is that possibility that, you know, shit can hit the fan. And
chicken hit the fan.
You know, but I'm not sure. I mean, are we in a Cuban Missile Crisis?
Huh? I said, don't you mean shit hitting the fan?
Oh, we're definitely in cold.
Chicken hitting the fan.
We're definitely in Cold War too. Charles Darwin says Sabbath Bloody Sabbath is Sabbath's best album. I love that T-shirt.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Zach.
It's a blurry. How'd you catch that? That's cool.
The album, man, the artwork.
Yeah, it's still blurry though. That's cool.
So, if you have any questions for us, be sure to, or if you'd like us to talk about anything, and go ahead and type that in the chat. But also, just to let everyone know, these guys here are from our podcast, podcast that I'm on, Our Thoughts Tonight, which there's a link to in the description of this. And you can find us on Spotify and all major podcast platforms. But I mainly make the Inhuman Form videos, just for everyone that hasn't ever seen what I look like or whatever.
Or whatever.
But that's another one of our projects. And we're thinking about doing this type of thing on here every now and then. If you like it, go ahead and let us know about that too.
Yeah.
But that gets into the question of epistemology, obviously. Yeah. Like, can we find truth in an era with so much information? What do you think?
Before we get into that, I don't want to miss Charles Darwin's thing over there. How do you feel about the Ottawa trucker protest? I don't even know. I haven't heard of that.
Haven't looked into it.
Yeah, Charles Darwin, if you want to, like, I guess we can look it up too, but like, what's going on? What's going on? I mean, I'm guessing it's basically another, like, it reminds, I mean, what, is it like a yellow vest kind of protest? You know, the stuff that was happening in France a while ago? Yeah. But yeah, so in terms of like, how can we know what's going on in the country? The thing is, like, we can't, you know, it's just like, it's completely hidden away from us, which I guess, like, there is a justification that, oh, you know, they need to have their secrets because blah, 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 for the well-being of the people. Are you looking up the Ottawa
thing? Yeah, it says, according to Reuters, 1,000 stage peaceful protests in Ottawa against Canada's vaccine mandates.
Oh, okay, never mind. I did hear about something like this.
Loud but peaceful protest in Canada's capital Saturday against Prime Minister Justin Trudeau's COVID-19 mandates on the streets and snow-covered lawn in front of the parliament. The so-called Freedom Convoy started out as a rally of truckers against the vaccine requirement for cross-border drivers. I don't know what to think about that, honestly.
I mean, it's like what's happening here in the US,
I mean,
like, all the time.
I have no idea, honestly. Yeah. I think that anti-science thought is pretty lame, and I think it's not. It's proven at this point that it's safe because of the amount of shots administered. So I think protesting at this point is just kind of.
I mean,
people just don't want to be told what to do, and I don't know.
I mean, yeah, Canada has a lot of like that. You know, Canada's like seen as progressive, but there's a lot of like backwards parts of Canada too, you know. I mean, like, there's a lot of that, like Manitoba, Saskatchewan, that's where you get all those, like, you know, Canadian cowboys basically. So yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, that's like, I mean, there's been like vaccine and COVID protests here in the US and everywhere, really. And actually that goes back into epistemologies, because they, like, what, they don't trust the government, right? But then again, like, oh, but the vaccine was made under the Trump administration, or the, at first, and it's like, oh, we can trust him, but not really.
Even Trump has been saying, get the vaccine. You know?
Yeah.
And he's like calling other like GOP politicians, he's been calling them like spineless for not promoting it and stuff, which is interesting, an interesting turn of events coming from Trump.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's true.
Charles, yeah, it's not a... protest against the vaccine, this person against the mandate. I mean, yeah, that goes into the whole like freedom question. Like, you know, are they really going to force it on them? Right. I mean, that was what mandate was, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. It's just, I don't know. COVID's dangerous. I don't know. I mean, I don't know how to feel about it, I suppose. Like, I get the whole freedom argument, but it's also like, I don't know. COVID's kind of wreaked the world a little, you know.
It should be a choice.
Well, Donkey says it should be a choice. Yeah. I mean,
it should.
I guess it's just,
vaccine mandates have been around forever.
Yeah,
you know, and also it's like people throw rights into this question, but you know, the barring of certain rights can create can bolster other rights. Like, you know, you mm-hmm. don't have, this is Noam Chomsky. Like he was saying this the other day. He was like, you know, you can't say that stopping at a red light will infringe on your rights because you want the liberty and the freedom to blow past a red light, or yeah. you know, you can't fire off a weapon in a shopping mall, you know, because you think it's against your rights. Maybe you might not hit somebody, yeah. but still, is it dangerous? Yeah.
I mean, the thing with the vaccine is, like, if they're not choosing to get it, there is, I mean, what reason would they have other than, like, they don't trust the vaccine?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what other reason? I mean, like, they're afraid of, like, the reactions. I mean, that's not, you know, that's just a day of, like, reactions. And if they have some sort of other condition that might react heavily with the vaccine, okay, I'm sure there's ways around that you don't have to take the vaccine for those situations. Like, literally, what other reason do you not have to take the vaccine other than you're afraid of what's going to be in there? Mm-hmm. Which is coming from a place of...
just uncertain. Maybe don't have to be afraid.
I mean, yeah,
no one likes to be forced to do anything. That's the problem.
It's, I mean, like, yeah, but we've taken plenty of vaccines for whatever else.
And I took it.
Yeah, polio. So,
you know. Yeah, I mean, like...
And some jobs require you to take it, too. Yeah. So, like, in that way, you're forced also.
Yeah.
Do I want to keep my job so I can make money, so I can pay my bills? So
I know, but my question is, like, why does not take the vaccine anyway? For people, like, if... Because the only other thing is you don't trust where it's coming from, or you don't know what's in it, but you're not gonna, like, you can look up what's in it, like, you can do that kind of stuff, and, like, but you're not going to, and it's just gonna come from a place of, like, I don't know, I don't trust the government, I don't trust this. There's plenty of other vaccines, there's plenty of other medicine that we take.
It's also crazy too, like, how many different variants there are of,
I mean, yeah, that corona. Yeah,
it's like,
yeah,
I don't know, like, I'm skeptical about that too.
About what?
About, like, the all of the, you know how, like, when you're normally sick, you're like, and now all of the what's the word I'm looking for, all the things that can happen if you get, like, a new variant is equivalent to, like, a fever.
Mm-hmm.
You know what yeah. I mean? That's kind of strange to me.
Yeah,
like, so, or if you get, like, a sore throat or cough, or, well, cough is a given. Like, I feel like I have PTSD now every time someone coughs.
Style Fresco says, huge fan. Can I get a shout out, please? Shout out to Still or Style Fresco. Shout out.
Still. Stweel.
yeah. Anyway, yeah, that's just, no, there's yeah. so much of this topic going around. I don't really know. I mean, I haven't, like, sat there and thought about it. I do trust the statistics because yeah. it's not just, the statistics are not just coming from one spot. Yeah. So
I mean,
coming
is,
from everywhere.
The thing is, like, isn't it crazy? Like, a couple of years ago, everyone would trash on anti-vaxxers, you know, like, oh, you're an anti-vaxxer, idiot. Like,
yeah.
oh, wait, Karens, whatever. And now it's like, it's not normal to be an anti-vaxxer, but it's like, become normalized in a weird way,
mm-hmm.
which is, like, weird. Like, that's not how, this is not what we were a few years ago.
Yeah,
like people would ridicule anti-vaxxers, and we still do. It's just like, it's just, I don't know. In my opinion, it's scary how much it's become normal to be an anti-vaxxer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And this yeah. all goes back to the question of epistemology. It's yeah. like, people don't understand.
Know?
And this could be stretched even further back to the lack of, like, proper teaching of, like, foundational understanding of what is fact and what is truth.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. like, people don't understand, like, the bell curve model yeah. or they don't understand regression.
Yeah.
They don't understand correlation. They don't understand the mechanisms that create these processes that, you know, you can get within 0.01 of, margin of error, that's like no variation whatsoever practically.
Yeah.
And you know, you're not allowed to have medications that have any more of a margin of error than that.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, these publications are sent through, like, rigorous peer review, and yeah. you know, people would speak out against it, and they do often when a medication doesn't work.
Yeah.
And it seems to be fine. I just think it's a lot of freaking out. People are freaking out.
I mean, the thing is, it's still coming, you know, it's just people are skeptical, and that's, like, true. I mean, being skeptical about anything, you know, should be the default position, in my opinion, when it comes to, like,
of course,
yeah, stuff like that. But like, I don't know. I guess it's just the question of like, when is it?
There's a degree of like, there's denial and then there's skepticism.
Yeah. No. Yeah. You shouldn't start from a place of denial, but like, your point of skepticism, and the whole point is to not like go into, you know, disbelief or whatever. It's usually to hone away at that skepticism, if there's an outlet for that. And I mean, it seems to me that there is, especially with the vaccines, especially with that kind of stuff. Yeah, I don't know. And so, yeah, so we're all talking in, let's see, hold up. If it was, unproven, understudy and rushed. I don't know about, so I used to think that it was, I used to think it was a rush too, but like, it's just the way they did it was basically they took the steps that you would usually take during a vaccine, during creating a vaccine, and they kind of just did it all at the same time. As far as I know, is basically they, instead of like taking these steps like singularly.
Before my channel gets banned, let's change the subject.
Yeah. That too. Yeah, we're trying to talk about Russia here, right?
Yeah. And let's see. Well, we were talking about Russia. I do want to ask: have you guys heard about this? You're right about that. I mean, there. And this is why I'm bringing this up, Wild Donkey. Wild Donkey says, see what I mean. What I want to bring up is the whole Joe Rogan / Neil Young fiasco. Have you heard about that?
Oh, yeah.
I don't know.
So, and this kind of touches on all of this, but Neil Young last week was like, I don't want to be on Spotify if Joe Rogan is on Spotify. Yeah. They either got to take him down or they got to take me down. And they took down Neil Young's music. And now Joni Mitchell and Dolly Parton and apparently, what's his name? Willie Nelson. And I want to, what do you guys think about that?
Like, what being banned? I mean, because
not necessarily being banned, but like, essentially trying to silence Joe Rogan. And I'm not pro Joe Rogan. Like, I think I listen to the show periodically because it's hard to stay away from the Joe Rogan show because of how many guests he has and how entertaining it can be. Like, yeah, I don't agree with him on his pseudoscience, but I don't think that he should be silenced. And yeah, no. I have an opinion on that, but I want to hear your guys' opinion.
Freedom of speech. Yeah. You know, don't be silent for what you believe in or what your opinion is. Or as far as like Neil Young being taken off Spotify, though, he's still in Crosby, Stills, and Nash.
Yeah, and Buffalo Springfield.
Yeah, so he's not fully taken off of Spotify.
I don't know. I mean, I do think some people should be deplatformed, but like Joe Rogan's not one of those people.
No, dude.
Like Joe Rogan, as problematic as he is, he's not like, you know, he's not like as bad as many other people out there. Like, I don't think he should be banned or silenced or whatever. I'm not like for platforming every, you know, guy. Oh, well, it wasn't the company, I suppose, but like,
that's funny.
The crime. Well,
Neil Young canceled himself.
You're right. Because he was trying to silence somebody else. And it's like, again, I'm going to go back to Chomsky here, and I was just listening to an interview he gave yesterday, 2 days ago.
Okay, oh my god.
What?
Just read, I suppose. It's fine.
Yeah.
That's what it...
No, it's... You know what I'm talking about, right?
About what Wild Donkey saying?
Yeah.
There.
Oh, yeah. But you can't have freedom of speech on their platforms. Well, it's private. They can do whatever the hell they want. Constitution is about the government. It governs the government. Anyway, at least in America, I don't know where you're from. So, anyway, what I was saying. What's that?
It's all good.
Oh, I see. Okay. Anyway. Chomsky was saying, like, if you want to, like, you know, really challenge somebody's take, it's not that you should cancel somebody, it's that you should invite them, you should challenge their take, and you should, in fact, he was talking about this with regard to like people going on college campuses, like people that are controversial, going on what did they call it? Like speeches or seminars. Yeah. And you know, back in, you know, the 60s, 70s, 80s, and prior to that, however long Chomsky's been, he's been around for a long time, you know, like 70 years, he's been actively, you know, doing political work, at least since he was in his 20s, I'm assuming, and yeah, probably even before. But he was saying, like, yeah, we used to not cancel them. We used to, in fact, go to these seminars and challenge their takes and allow people to decide for themselves. And the more you do cancel people for any sort of view,
yeah,
it just becomes worse, especially for the right. And particularly, this was more of a thing that used to be done against the left,
yeah,
countless times. And now, because the liberals are doing it, which are essentially just like neoconservatives,
yeah,
with a little bit more of...
socially, a little bit.
Yeah, socially, they're less conservative.
Yeah.
But they're essentially economically neocons.
Yeah.
And now they're doing this, or they're having it done to them, or no, I'm sorry, the liberals are doing it to the right, and it's just making, it's giving the right.
Well, I don't know.
So much power.
I don't think so. I mean, to a certain extent, but like, you can't convince some people. You just straight up can't. Like, for example, Alex Jones got canceled. When was the last time you actually heard his name? Like, when was the last time you heard anything about
on
him?
Just
last week.
Oh, yeah, but not to the extent as it was a few years ago.
Oh, no, because everybody realizes he's ridiculous.
Well, that's what I'm saying is like, but not even like, but even when people realized he was ridiculous, people were still talking about him. He mm-hmm. got canceled, and like, no one cares anymore, you know? And like, again, sometimes like, yeah, there's a whole point of like freedom of speech or whatever, but like, sometimes you just can't debate the other side. You just can't. Like, people are starting from very different positions, and like, sometimes you can, and that's good.
There's no fundamental understanding. They're arguing in bad.
Yeah, and I do want to say this, and like, I'm full on leftist. I don't, you know, that's my position or whatever. But like, a lot of reactionary positions don't come from a place of like academia or discussion or stuff like that. That's not inherently wrong in the ideology. It's just like, that's just historically where reactions come from, or reactionary positions come from, is from a place of emotion. And that's like, that's just a historical fact. Like, literally, bringing a historical example, maybe not all of it, but a good chunk of that logic comes from that. You can have, you know, outliers, you know, social Darwinism back in forever. But like, I think because of that reason, it's difficult to debate or talk to people, not even just on the right. It just... reactionary, and reaction doesn't have to mean right wing,
mm-hmm.
Positions like that, because it's not coming from a place of discussion and progress.
No, it's not.
It's not. So like, cancellation, as much as I would love to oppose it, like, sometimes is necessary. Like, it shouldn't be the default option, but I think there should be some factors that like, some people who should be canceled, you know, or not cancelable, you know, silenced, whatever, especially if they're like,
you think people should be silenced?
No, not like in a structural way, but I'm saying like, in a very loose general term, like, if they're doing harm to the community and there's just straight up no way you can stop them, yeah, I mean, as much as you can, at least from a company's perspective, like,
I mean,
a company's perspective, not in like a whole like national thing, like, you know, depending on the company, I suppose. Then again, you can argue, but these are like public forums at this point.
Yeah,
you know, it's the First Amendment, maybe. Right? And that gets tricky. But like, I don't know, some people, I don't know, there's just some opinions out there. I think
I don't agree with that personally. Yeah. I think that, I
you
mean,
you can't debate them though.
It's not about debate always. Yeah. I'm saying like in a seminar situation possibly.
Yeah.
But you have to like, I mean, what society would do better in doing was, or what would really help society would be to teach people how to criticize.
Yeah.
And to teach people that, you know, the reason why people fall into situations where they believe nonsense is because they've been so conditioned to believing in the status quo.
Yeah.
Everyone is so content with being content. Like, nobody criticizes anybody anymore. And it's like, for instance, my channel is a perfect example. Thank you all 17 of you that are on right now. But like, when I started doing JCS stuff, my channel was like huge.
Yeah.
And if you notice, when, you know, you're watching true crime topics are all about punching down into people that are in a worse position than you are.
Yeah.
So I was like, you know what? I don't really see eye to eye with this anymore. Like, I want to criticize power. And people are not used to doing that in our society. They're not used to punching up, and it's easy, and they're content to punch down. And you can see it in the numbers. I mean, the data doesn't lie. My channel has practically died since I stopped, you know, punching down and started punching up and talking about power.
Yeah.
And people are not comfortable with that. And I think this says a lot, because, like, if you were to teach people that it's okay to criticize or it's okay to be criticized, they would be more willing to accept that there might be some bad takes out there, but you don't have to believe everything you see.
No, I know. And I fundamentally agree with that. It's just like, should be when you get your new info. But no, I'm saying, like, I agree with that in general. I'm just saying, like, I think there's just certain beliefs out there that, like, are essentially risky to keep out. Like, and again, you could say, okay, you know, like, who's doing the borders, you know, what is a risky opinion according to whom? And that's tricky, and that should be always, like, questioned. But in terms of just, like, the quote unquote obvious stuff, whether it's obvious or not, it's like, you know, how should I say it? Like, not sometimes seminars and stuff like that, it's less about, and debates or whatever, it's less about, like, what they say. It's more like how they say it, you know. Mm-hmm. Like, they can convince a lot of people with whatever they want to say, you right. know, and, like, especially with the common person. So, like, especially if they, you know, appeal to emotions and whatever, you know. So I don't know, I just think, like, yeah, I think overall most opinions, in fact, like 99.9% of opinions, yeah, have at it. It's just like there's just a tiny bit amount that is just risky to keep, and on a structural national level, all 100% keep it out there. Don't go to jail for that kind of stuff. But I'm saying, at least for, like, different platforms, it's just a little too scary, in my opinion. And if that's, you know, I don't know, you can agree or disagree. I just think there's just,
I guess, yeah. I mean, it is. I like the way it is now, personally. But yeah, I'm left leaning.
Yeah, so, yeah. I mean, I don't.
But even here, like, I mean, I quickly changed the subject from, you know, COVID, because I don't want to lose my channel, for instance. And thank you, Ali Cattails, for joining on your first time.
Back to the, what was it?
Subscribe if you like it.
What names are you guys going to give your rifle?
what was it? So back to the Russia draft. Time. When they implement the draft, what names are you guys going to give your rifle? I'm too old to be in the military.
Oh, wait, hold on.
I'm too old for the draft.
Guy in the hat is what? What does Josh Clark say? What?
Josh who?
Guy in the hat Josh, is wet. You're wet. What the fuck?
So who's wet?
What does that mean?
What is wet? What do you mean by wet? No, that's obviously not the... That's obviously not the only reason David Rusty Lewis, but it has something to do with it, you know, because people don't necessarily find the criticism of, like, power structures as interesting as you know, criticizing what a somebody that's in a position of being interrogated is.
Yeah, the whole draft thing.
And I know this. Too. I mean, I study criminal justice, you know. But anyway.
Yeah.
Oh, up to 37, yeah, I guess.
I was a little confused by that,
too. I thought it was 30.
Oh. Yeah, you asked about your 30 now. Yeah. Yeah, Zach, what are we naming our rifles?
I don't know. Yeah. I'm going to sit on that one for a minute.
Yeah. I don't know. I go to college. Hopefully that's
I'm still wondering what the guy in the hat is wet means.
Yeah, what does that mean? Seriously, you can't just leave us
explain
hanging.
Explain yourself.
How is he? Like, spill some water on
I'm
you.
I'm a hardworking man. Yeah. I'll tell you.
What else should we talk about? Russia.
Yeah, Russia. Well, I mean, that was the whole point. Yeah. So, I mean, there's not much more to say. We were just honestly have been in this waiting position. Like, that news came out, what, like a week ago at this point or something?
It's been going on, like, I mean, since 2014.
Oh, yeah.
It got heated, like, this, in October, and now it's back for the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, it's just like, I don't even know what I want to say about it. It's
apparently, like, Russia's waiting for it to get colder.
Yeah.
Oh, and it's like,
we'll see. I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I don't think. I mean, I don't want to bite my, you know, jinx it or whatever. But like, I don't think anything. I think they're just flexing. I don't think anything's gonna necessarily happen. Read the comment above the one while you think about. Oh God. What Timbers? Okay, what?
Who is the arbiter of truth? Clearly, the establishment. Yeah, I mean, yeah. I don't understand it. The arbiter of truth for your own perception is yourself. I mean, yeah. You can decide. You can seek your own information. I do that. If you want to go ahead and believe quick and easy information, yeah, but yeah. There's plenty of ways to take polls on your own. You can buy data now.
Yeah.
And you can take your own polls if you're that concerned about it.
Yeah. I mean, it's like, and this might go with more epistemology. I mean, it's just classic, like, you need your justification, you know, you need your warrant, you know, for any quote unquote belief to actually become like, you know, knowledge, you know, this is kind of classic or whatever, but like, you can believe whatever you want, but if there's like just so much like information out there that's blocking you, you've kind of lost that edge. That's just like classic epistemology.
Yeah.
I mean, then again, you can go,
but that doesn't deter your own truth.
It doesn't, but like, that's what you get into, like, with all like the problems with these positions, but like, because you have your justification, but you don't have to believe in the justification.
Mm-hmm.
So that justification is quote unquote from an objective viewpoint, but you can have a different belief on that based on other. So yeah, it gets circular and you do kind of fall back into skepticism. I agree about that. But at least in a pragmatic sense, like you can, for the most part, you know, draw your lines for where, you know, where objectivity stands.
Yeah.
And base your truth on that. Yes, technically you can make people believe whatever you want. I don't think there's any logical problem with that.
Mm-hmm.
There's a pragmatic problem with that, but not a logical problem with that.
That's what we all do from day to day. I mean,
yeah,
you make your own decisions. That's the beauty of consciousness.
Yeah, I mean, like, yeah, I mean, like, essentially, like, yeah, there is no objective truth, like, fundamentally. But again, you can't just go around your life, you know, a car is coming. This is for my class, but like, you can't just like. You know, a car is coming and like be like, okay, let me just, okay, so the car, you know, for, you know, is correlated to my mental category of quantity and quality and modality that it's necessary that it's coming. Let me just try to, is it really real? It conforms to my mental categories. And then you get hit by the car, you know, like you can't just like do that, like epistemological deduction or whatever. So you just kind of have to keep, you know, going along with the flow.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not to say like, you know, common sense is like, you know, one above all, you know, if we just went by like our normal perceptions, the earth is flat just because it is. So we kind of do have to rely on extra stuff beyond this perception. So within this topic of like, you know, the social political issues, like, you can't just go along saying, you know, this person, you know, I survived COVID. It wasn't that bad. Can't, you know, so it's just,
you need a body of information.
Yeah, I mean, like, yeah, you just kind of have to go beyond just,
you
like
have your, to, yeah, and you, there are plenty of tools to, like I said, you can buy data.
Yeah.
You can poll people on your own if you really distrust information that much. But Tiffany made a good point here. She says, I think the information is out there if you want to find it, but you have to want to go and find it. I 100% agree with you.
Yeah. How much research is enough, though? It depends. I mean, yeah, you can get into how much research is enough, but like, I mean, but that's the thing. You can say that about anything, and that's true, that the underlying skeptical position is like, it's, you know, it's solid, but like, yeah, you can go into research about literally anything and you know, never have like the clear cut answer at the end, but like, yeah, and you could say it's a very blurry line. Okay, when is enough research enough? And at the end of the day, you might just have to fall into that bandwagon of like, or maybe it's not even really a fallacy, but you might just have to trust a source. I mean, you can't just like, you know, I don't trust this medical thing. I'm going to go to 8 years of medical school or something and then like study for myself.
These people are so like,
you have the trust.
Let's say the group of people that are distrusting the big question of the vaccine right now. Yeah. The majority of the people that distrust it right now are people that trust the Bible.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
Like not the best sourced thing to base your life off of, do you think? But no, can't trust all these medical professionals, according to them.
But yeah, that's the thing. It's also just like, it's such a leap. It's such a leap of faith to be like, okay, on one hand, we have this vaccine that was perhaps a little hastily constructed, but it's been, verified by a lot of people who are verified themselves. You know, they have done their research and stuff. That is one option. And the other option is there is a global conspiracy to poison me. Like, just using Occam's razor there. There is a clear, simpler answer, So, I don't know. And that goes with a lot of different stuff.
There goes my channel.
Yeah.
Just kidding. I hope not.
Well, we don't have to stand the vaccine. I do want to get back to Russia, but then again, like, we're just in such limbo phase with Russia that I don't even know too much what to talk about with Russia.
Zach was asking some good questions, I think.
Yeah, that's the reason why, right?
Yeah, why are they going there? Why are they trying to take it over?
Russia or U.S.? Why is Russia going to Ukraine?
Yeah, why is Russia going to Ukraine? Just for the land or resources or...
So I'm a Bible thumping hick if I question our government or the vaccine. No,
that's not what he said.
No, but if you do, thump the, that's really funny. First off, but if you do push the Bible, and on top of that, go question, statistics that are, as clear as day, then you should be questioning your own views.
Yeah, it's not like if you're an anti-vaxxer, you believe the Bible. It's just like, it just so happens that a lot of, anti-vaxxers or people who, it's more of a correlation thing.
So why are they going there?
Yeah. They can go.
Why are they going there? I think they're going there possibly because they want to secure that hot spring area, because they do, there is oil there, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, but Russia's already like packed with oil, though.
Yeah,
is that? You can always get more.
It's just like money.
I mean, it is just money, but are they really risking a world war for that?
Well, also, it's kind of like, I think somebody said it earlier.
It's flexing.
They're America being in Ukraine is the equivalent of Russia being in Mexico.
Yeah.
So they're tired of being aggressed. Yeah. Like, U.S. imperialism is aggressing them.
Yeah. I mean, that's a big fact. Like, a lot of these countries who are like, quote unquote, budding up, like, essentially don't have a lot going in terms of like shared values or whatever. I mean, sometimes they do, but like most of it, the common unifying concept is anti-Americanism or anti-American imperialism or whatever. Like, they can be authoritarian as they can be, China and Russia, or whatever, but like, if the goal is to basically get America off their backs, that's kind of like what the unifying concept is. Like, Russia and China have plenty of problems with each other, but like, they're biting their tongues and working with each other because America is too strong. Same goes for all the members of SCO, same goes for BRICS. So it's just like,
and it's not just the U.S. We're talking about the entire, NATO alliance,
Yeah. Well, which is, so objectively speaking, it's just the U.S. and puppets, really.
Yeah. In my opinion. Practically, they're allies. People that are tied into this thing that was supposed to be just post-World War II.
Yeah.
And now, because of the USSR, but now the USSR isn't even around. So what's the point of NATO being around is what people are saying.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's transformed into just... Yeah, I mean, then you can say like, okay, but Russia's still a hostile enemy force, blah, 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 which is just BS. I mean, maybe to like Georgia and Ukraine, but like not to like the entirety of the Western civilization. So, yeah. Western thought.
That sounds like a show.
What?
Western thought.
Western thought. Our Western thoughts tonight. That sounds culturally not.
If you ask us some other interesting questions, we're kind of at a loss for words here.
Freedom. There you go. That's the question. That's a good freedom.
I love freedom.
Yeah. What is freedom?
playing drums.
I was actually listening to wow, I was listening to a podcast today. How rare is that?
Really?
Yeah. And it was the Celtic Genocide episode from Hardcore History, I guess. In the beginning, he was talking about, like, how do you define freedom? And he was like, there's two competing notions. One is the freedom to, like, what was it? It was, like, the freedom to do what you want, your typical freedom. And then, like, the freedom of, like, the freedom away from external influences. You know, whether that be on, like, a, let's say, a group basis, like the freedom of my people to not be controlled by other people. Mm-hmm. So even if my people are a dictatorship, they're free from external influence or whatever, which doesn't seem like freedom to me. But apparently, according to that, that was one option philosophically to define freedom, was to get my group of people away from external influences, which sounds extremely outdated as a concept. But how does true crime YouTube do better?
What do you mean by do better?
I guess, how does it, like, get back in its feet, I suppose?
Compared to the new stuff, new material that you've done.
Count Raven.
Count Raven.
It's such a good band, though.
Look but up it's, Count Raven.
Yeah.
Tell me the guy doesn't sound like Ozzy Osbourne.
Yeah, but no, but he swears he wasn't inspired by Ozzy, even though it's literally Ozzy. Like, again, like, after, if I, you know, God forbid Ozzy passes away, but, like, great replacement right there. Literally, literally Ozzy. I've never heard someone more similar. I fixed it. Yeah? Oh, shoot. They're all robots.
I fixed it.
It's not the mics. It's all their voice boxes malfunction. That makes sense.
Yeah, that's true.
There you go.
Yes.
I fixed it.
Well, what's the problem?
Ladies and gentlemen, in human form.
What was the problem?
It's our thoughts tonight.
It was the stream situation I used.
Oh, okay. No static, but it's super quiet.
Yes, I will turn it up.
Yeah. Man, we've gone from black metal vibe to, like, doom metal or something, like, or something quiet. Yeah.
That's so quiet.
Yeah.
It's louder now.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, let's get to reacting or something. Let's get the show back on the road.
Let us know. I did turn it up. I can turn it up more. Sorry if you hear an echo. Man, this is really tough, but
I hear tofu.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah, we're good now. So either way, what should we react to? Jordan Peterson?
I think we should. I mean, I'm down for that.
I say
Devin Townsend's Sinkester vibe, clear but kind of low.
I don't know.
Oh, God, I miss.
We should keep chatting for a minute because we totally kind of screwed everything here in a second.
Yeah.
We could maybe get back on topic and then react.
Yeah. Also, I was going to say we could react to the 5-minute ontology video I did, but that's going to be.
Which one is that?
The one I did.
Oh, we totally should do that.
I can try to explain it again. Yeah. Oh, and that's promotion for the Our Thoughts Tonight channel, I suppose.
Yeah.
Are you talking about the one with you in the car?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Get that video popping.
That was so funny.
Get that trending. I was like,
I say we maybe get back onto topic a little bit.
Yeah, I know.
Because then I have to get off screen and then set it up again.
Yeah, so yeah.
You can let the dog in if you want.
Yeah.
I don't know where
he's out there. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, Russia.
Yeah. Anyway, yeah, Russia.
It was Russia that did the stabbing.
Yeah. Russian meddling in audio problems. Oh, here's a dog.
Troubleshooting live is, like, something that I've gotten so good at over the years.
Yeah.
Like, from doing Our Thoughts Tonight live.
Mm-hmm.
Like, all those years. Yeah. We did it for, like, 2 years.
Just a lot. Oh, God.
Like, I'm so meticulous when it's, like, doing videos, like, the audio for videos now that...
Yeah.
Like, because I have all the time in the world, but, like, if it's live and I've got, like, 10 seconds to figure it out. This is Tofu, my dog. There he is. Dogs will help with the retention of guests.
Yeah,
maybe.
It's like 1,000 viewers.
Anyway, so what would you like us to talk about?
Well, we're talking about Russia. I think, again, once again, I don't know what else to talk about Russia, just because we're such in a limbo state. Like, it's just essentially we can't really know what their intentions.
He's like, I'm out.
Objectively speaking.
Yeah.
I do wonder what China's or, like, other countries' opinions, like not NATO and not Russia. Like,
no,
I guess Turkey counts in part of this, but, like, I wonder what Turkey, I guess, you know, Turkey's NATO, but, like,
I wonder what a Turkey's thinking right now. Or Erdogan, Iran, even.
Erdogan was saying Iran's like on a tear of like some other nonsense as usual. They're dealing with, you know, sanctions probably from the U.S. But because there's talks about nuclear agreement going on again. Yeah. But what...
Tofu's opinion on Russia.
Tofu's opinion on Russia is anti-imperial. You know?
Yeah. Little Russo here.
Yeah, Erdogan was saying that he's going to Ukraine in February. And that he thinks he's going to be the guy to bring them to an understanding between Russia and the U.S. Like, he should try to be a mediator in between them. That's what he's saying.
That might sound ridiculous, but I think that's low-key kind of probably the best bet.
You think so?
Erdogan's kind of been on the fence with, like, the East and West for a while now. East and West, wow, what a weird way to say that. But, like...
You're talking about Russia being the East?
Yeah. I mean, that sounds so weird. But, like, I know Turkey has been, like, bolstering relations with Ukraine for a few years now. But at the same time, yeah, Erdogan's worked on both sides of the aisle for a little bit. Erdogan has like very clear cases of like being opposed to either side. Like, yeah, he's part of NATO, but like he's also like he's kind of got NATO by the ball sometimes. So like, and he's, you know, he has a lot of disputes with Russia, but then again, like, he does work with Russia.
He's got some skin in the game too, because like, if Ukraine does end up being Russian territory, that pretty much is going to make the Black Sea, like,
oh yeah,
Russia's back door.
Yeah, no, I don't think he wants Russian control over that area, but I don't think he's, you know, I think he's, he want, I think he's on, he's like, okay, so you watch Game of Thrones, Zach?
Yeah.
He's like the little finger of what's going on, I think, where he's just like playing out.
He's like behind the backdrop the whole time playing.
Yeah, just like he kind of wants the chaos, I think, because honestly, he doesn't. I mean, I don't think Erdogan wants any side to really be dominant.
Chaos presents opportunity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I mean, that's the thing. If, you know, if one side's dominant, like, they're gonna, you know, Erdogan's a shady guy, you know, with ambitious plans and stuff, and like, you know, why worry about Turkish ambitions in Syria or Mediterranean or Libya when there is
chaos?
Yeah. And the thing is, Turkey, you know, Turkey is doing fine for itself right now. I think there's some economic problems or whatever, but like, Tofu wants to leave. Tofu's like, I don't want to hear about Turkish politics. Give me Russian ones.
He's like, I can't stand listening to Turkish politics. Yeah.
I probably shouldn't even talk about Turkish politics, considering.
I mean, they make a good point.
Yeah. And I mean, I think, again, as,
makes a good point.
As someone who, like, you know, I don't want to billion of them problems, but like, yeah.
Yeah, so we are talking about setting up, you know what we should do? Is I should set up a second channel or something we do have the Our Thoughts Tonight channel.
We just use that. I mean, like,
yeah,
we gotta get that show on the road. I think, yeah, just using this to bolster that. That's what I'm saying. We should probably react to,
you freaking out. You guys, I mean, wanna, I mostly watch a chick freaking out in his car about philosophy. It's pretty funny.
Yeah, and I mostly like just to bolster that channel. It's got, you know, decent views for that channel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's got, what,
100
or something?
Yeah, 150 something, 155 or something. So,
all right, I'll set it up.
Yeah, I can try and explain. I'm going to, Zach, oh shit, I need water. That's fine. That's
I'll
fine.
Go get you water.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah,
I
want
you go, right, or you go get water, or I'll go get water. And...
Oh, no, I can get water. I just, no.
I can talk by myself. All right, I'm alone now. So, Zach is still here.
I'm back.
Anyway, thanks for all of you that are still around. Ashok went downstairs to get some water. And yes, the static is gone. I fixed it. It was kind of a problem through the server situation that I'm using. Could I hit your vape?
Yeah, bro.
Thanks. We're tested.
Yeah. Negative.
So, what were we talking about?
Russia.
In Russia. Yeah, that's right.
No, he's talking about Turkish politics, which I know fucking nothing about. I'm not Turkish. And I don't watch Turkish news or anything.
Yeah, it was rough. Yeah, I was freaking out there because about the troubleshooting, because I hate having to do that live. But
shitty audio sucks.
It's either one thing or another.
Unless it's like raw black metal.
Yeah, bad audio will destroy a good video.
Need a different chair.
Oh, you want this one?
No, it's fine.
Shoot, oh, bro. I'm gonna get a couch or something. Or no, I'll just get better chairs.
Couch would be tight.
Yeah, so I'm gonna set that video up and you guys talk.
Good job.
I like how you just walk in. It's like, just like it's like it's tight. Delayed. What, you're watching yourself walk in with pizza and water. He's like, all right.
Pizza. It's pizza time. We should talk about Spider-Man, man.
Spider-Man No Way Home.
Yeah, or the Doctor Strange 2 leaks.
Dude, he doesn't watch any of that stuff.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I don't know if we should spoil it. I mean, people might have not watched it. That's on you at this point.
I like Boba Fett.
Yeah, I'm behind like 3 episodes.
Oh, no, bro. I can't talk about it. Class bad.
I like the first episode.
Oh, though. Nice. All right. He's pulling it up.
I didn't even mean to upload this. It was just like, I literally, my phone died. And I got bored. So I was like, I'm just going to like open up a video. Or no, open up like a camera and start talking. I missed the static now. I'm sorry. What kind of pizza is that? Type and source location. What kind of pizza is
it? Classified.
It is classified. It's a Russian pizza. I'm kidding.
it's Russian pizza. Yeah. That was a good joke.
There's olives on it.
It's a.
And I think there's meat. I don't know. I didn't buy the pizza. Murat, what kind of pizza is
Milano's?
Oh, Milano's pizza.
Oh, shit. Okay. I'm talking about the type.
It's olive and cheese. Black olive
something. Okay.
Very patient, son. What's up, beard man? What?
I'll go there.
Okay.
I feel like I'm drunk, but I'm not. I haven't even drank.
Yeah, you did.
What?
You drank water.
Are you trying to make me feel more drunk? Gross olives. Okay. Why are you against? What the hell?
You don't like olives?
Yeah. No. Yeah. Black olives on pizza. Thanks, does David. Kick ass. Yeah. It's good.
The best.
Maybe it's green olives. Static, I can stand, not olives. To each their own. Okay. So. Oh, wait. Is it going to pull up, though? Yeah. So, looks like New York style. I mean, I'm eating it like a New York, you know, you fold it or whatever. Oh, man. Okay. Yeah. Here's the. Go. Here's the code. Yeah, so here's me talking about ontology
while eating pizza.
This is weird. So a computer with camera playing LH as I drive. Is it safe? Well, as long as I'm just doing this, I guess it's fine. The weird setup was a little poverty dangerous stuff. Anyway, so this is giving my commentary on a possible idea that I may have, but it is the relation between being and non-being. Well, to be precise, the relation between the being as lived through, quote unquote lived through, experience, not even experience, that is persistent through. Like the rock is within itself, if that makes sense. The being of a being of a being, you can say.
I don't know if I should like
the relation between that and the being of the non-being of the being. Or you may say
being of non-being of
being. The thing that we don't know if it's true or not, but it has a sort of platonic form, if you may even consider that. It has a sort of being to it, almost in semantical terms, right? But something that is not really experienced through by the first being, right? So think of that. Like, another way to put this is like, I am here, I am living through me, and there is the rock which I did not live through. But this is not in terms of consciousness, it's in terms of implications. Almost semantics, almost mathematics. Can a concept indicate
something else that it is not? That is a fundamental question. The relation between itself, the it and itself, and the non-it, which is not the other itself. Now, what seems to be the case when we view this, it's an asymmetric relation. The being of the being of the being implies the being of the non-being of the being. But the being of the non-being of the being does not imply the being of the being of the being. Now, the being of the non-being of the being can, I suppose, imply the being of the non-being of the being, as in it can imply itself. But the being of the being of the being does not imply the being of the being of the being, at least insofar as it's a different being. What do I just mean? A thing implies something else. That something else implies itself. But that something else does not imply the original thing. And the original thing does not imply the original thing insofar as that original thing is something else. It's an asymmetric polyadic relation, I suppose. But this relation is primarily important because not in terms of what something implies towards the other, but what the other factor can be implied by. You know, it is on the receiving end of the relation, if that makes any sense. You're the master. It's not just something is the master of. It's more like, I am this, and there's a master over me, if that makes any sense. So in this, it's not just something implied to me. It's more like the other thing is being able to be implied by something. So that's the interesting question. So how does that relate to being and non-being? See, that's the interesting point. Because if the being can imply the non-being cannot imply the being. Well, it seems quite unfair, right? But why is it that the being implies the non-being in the first place? Well, it's really because of what you may call a horizon, a grid, metaphysical community, just the ability of something. If you were to admit that something is, you must admit that there is something that is not it. But the problem when you admit that something is not it, you must imply that there is something.
I can't wait to explain this again. The alternative ending to the eternal sunshine of the spotless mind. I'm unfamiliar with what that is. Did the video end?
Yeah.
Oh.
That's it?
Yeah. I ended it just because I can't really hear.
I was like, that ain't no six.
I feel like this is the POV of a baby because of the angle and my understanding of you. Just imagine the baby just like. No, I didn't know. I was not high while doing that. I had basically just learned of a new concept and I was trying to connect it with an updated version now. Oh, yeah. Do you guys want me to explain what I was talking about without trying to say being over and over again?
The being of the being, it's a being.
Because I think it's a cool concept. Then again, I don't want people to steal my.
Nobody just wants that plate, dude.
Oui.
Yeah, I don't know. I couldn't figure out how to get the audio from that and the other one to play at the same time. I got to do more of this streaming stuff to figure out all this.
Yeah.
But,
God. Yeah, no, it's what I'm talking about is like, I don't want to say the same thing I just said in the being of the non-being of the being. Being of the being of the being and the being of the non being of the being.
You're saying being.
But if you. What?
Like being, not being.
Being, yeah. Supposedly to something related. I mean, there's not a lot of like great like videos on like ontology, unfortunately. You just kind of have to read it. But are you saying the being of a bean? Seriously? No. Okay. So literally just follow the sentence. Like the being. So think of a being. And I think of the being of the being, and I think of the being of the being of the being. Okay? It might make concepts. More sense. Huh?
Nothing. Go ahead.
But think of the other one. So the being of the non-being of the being. So think of a being, think of the non-being of the being, and I think of the being of that non-being of the being. When your
drunk uncle picks you up from a soccer practice.
Oh my God. This is a good crowd, man.
Yeah, you guys should go check out that video and give it some views and some likes and stuff. But in comments. No, okay, so without using the word being over and over and over again, just like think of something. Okay, how about this? Think, and I say this in the video, think of a four-sided triangle. It makes no sense, right? So a four-sided triangle, outright when you say it, it's a being, right? But it's not really a real thing, so it has non-being. So it's the non-being of a being. But then you can refer to that negation as like its own thing, like the false four-sided triangle, basically. So there's a being to the actual non-being itself. It's the being of the non-being of the being. So but when you have a true statement, let's say, you know, say like this plate is real, it's a being, it's a true being, and you refer to the truth of it. It's the being of the being of the being. It's like I'm just like riff, like this is like bars. Well, a three triangle. Yeah, a 3D triangle. Wait. Wouldn't that just be a a 3D triangle? How is a 3D triangle have four sides? I was thinking of a pyramid, but it has five sides. No, it does have four sides. Yeah, that's a pyramid. That's not a triangle though. This is more fun if you think if you think you're saying bean, the bean of a bean, a bean of a bean,
yeah, I know,
the bean of a non-bean of a bean.
That's what I thought too. I was confused.
Well,
was
like, we should just use the concept of beans.
Just the be a bean.
Yeah, well, we can totally use the concept of bean. Like, basically, the whole idea is just like. I mean, I think it's pretty profound. At least I was very proud of it. I thought of this basic idea a long time ago, but I connected it with the new concept I learned of asymmetric polyadic relations. But basically, like, I should say, okay, so like, so solipsism. Oh my god, I can't believe I thought about this stuff right on this like live stream right now. But like, yeah, you like, just do it. Okay, so like, you know, solipsism is a belief that, you know, there's nothing else in existence but you. And that all the things that you see are fabricated by you. You're the only thing in existence, right? So basically the idea is that if you admit anything to be anything, you must imply a sort of community of things around it, if that makes any sense. Because of the being of the non-being of a being. Because the thing is, you can always refer to something as something having zozine, which is basically called so-being, to be more technical.
Soybean.
So a bean is there's beans, there's non-beans, and there's soybeans. We should totally just use the soybean example. So the whole point is that like, but like literally every, and again, this is niche position in philosophy. So like, not everyone agrees with this, but like, we're slowly just gravitating. I have taken over now. I mean, the whole concept is just like you have something, and then like, let's say you were to say that there's only one thing in existence, but you must admit the being of things that don't exist. So essentially, at least ontologically speaking, there is always an infinite amount of beings, even if those things don't actually exist.
That's a good joke, Tiffany.
Yeah.
Alpha beings.
Existence and nothing else. Like it's kind of a weird statement.
That should be my like
the being of the non-being of the
Omega being.
Right? Yeah. So basically, the whole thing is you can refer to non-being things. So fundamentally, what you have at the end is that nothing is ever able to exist in individuality. There must always be, like,
except the Omega being,
something else. Even if that something else is literally nothing. That is why it implies it. But the something that is not, the being of the non-being of the being,
yeah,
something that is not the case, that can never imply anything. Why, you may say?
Yeah, this gets a little part of the being, too.
It's always a mental community. But the important part is it can imply something only if we're viewing it in the terms.
Yeah, so this is where I talk about the asymmetric relation between being and non-being, not necessarily basically. Consciously,
but actually, can you guys hear the video?
It's a really weird concept. Like, the four-sided triangle, let's just say. If it is sort of, if the perspective is as if it is lived through, as it is persisted through by something, as if it is through something, then yes, that can imply the metaphysical community. But that in itself, not viewed in terms of if it can be experienced through, cannot imply anything else because there's nothing in there.
Thank you so much for helping us out with this, whoever is watching, everybody. Tiffany, Timmer. El Sapo Verde. But
that's the important point here.
Here both just fine.
Is that being not being an instrument?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm just viewing that right now in that perspective. It's just like. Nice. Yeah, at the end, I'm like, I hope there was no cop around me. Mr. Bean making videos in your car is not recommended. I think I'm gonna keep it consistent.
Look at the camera.
Yeah. I'm going to try to kind of be consistent. Yeah.
All right. So.
Yes. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, that's all I'm really saying is that, well, the first part of what I'm saying is basically like when you admit something, you have to admit everything around it, basically. Like another way to view this is like in spatiotemporal terms. If you admit that things exist in space and time, you must admit that there are other things within space to make space a valid concept as well as time. But you can even go beyond that. Like if you admit a concept, you must admit that there are concepts that are not that concept, or basically. So like in essence, nothing can ever exist in isolation of itself. And basically the real thing I was trying to get at this video, sir, you can pull up to the first window. Dude, you guys should comment this on the actual video. Oh my God. You just Mr. Bean. Yeah, and so all I'm talking about, really, I'm still going on about this right now, is an asymmetric polyadic relation. Basically, what I'm trying to say is that I'm not going to say being of the being of the being and being of the non-being of the being, right? Just like straight up, just let's just say being and non-being as simple as I can get. Being implies non-being for the reasons I have stated. If you've been following me. And then so the being, I'm just going to say being. The being implies a non-being, right? Okay. I need a beer or something. Okay. So a being implies a non-being. Okay. But a non-being cannot imply the being because you can't. But the... Okay. So I'm literally trying to get this. I can see that we're setting up the Jordan Peterson video. I just want to get through this concept. It's like this is a Wendy's. This is the Wendy's. Yeah, basically, like I'm just like as simple as possible is like. I don't want to put this in terms of consciousness, but like it's like the only choice I have right now. Is he okay?
Yeah.
I know, but am I okay? No, yeah. I think he just. Did he eat a bean? Wendy's the bean burger. Okay, so like, okay, literally, I just want to get through this concept in my mind because at this point, I just want to get it out. It's like you have a concept, or let's say we don't even have to say concept. It's like you have yourself, whatever you're living through yourself. You know, you're conscious through yourself. If you were a non-conscious object like a rock, then you can say the perspective of the argument is that the perspective is through the rock, right? Rock is not conscious, but it's just the perspective is through the rock, and through that rock, there is the implication of the thing that is not the rock. Or for me, there is an implication of something else like the plate, right? And but the perspective is not through that other thing, it's through me. So when you have that other object, where that's be the plate of, you good?
What's up?
Yeah, you ready?
Oh, what happened?
Let's go.
Theories dissolve, especially fundamental ones.
Yes, yeah, so you don't.
The culture is dissolving because the culture is a structure of category.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it is.
Even if something right. isn't.
So in fact, culture is a structure. Culture is
a thing that isn't something.
Structure of category really? That we all share.
Even if something isn't.
So we see things thing the same way. Well, that's why we can talk. I mean, not exactly
David
the same
Lewis
way.
Is, yeah, that's basically something about, Zozine.
Roughly speaking,
but it's still,
we have a bedrock of agreement.
It still has a thingness to it.
That's the Bible, by the way.
Anything.
So I just walked through the Museum of the Bible in Washington. That was very cool. It's a very cool museum.
So the structure... That's what the Bible
provides.
Yeah,
that's
what
I figured out. I just figured this out this week. So it was a cool thing to walk through.
It's like
because
you speaking over Jordan.
It's,
yeah.
It's chronological.
Who's more incoherent?
Which is the history of the Bible.
Mm.
But it's not exactly that. It's really what it is the history of the book. Now, in many ways, the first book was the Bible. I mean, literally. Because there was only one
book. The Bible?
Like, as far as our Western culture is concerned, there was one book. And for a while, literally, there was only one book.
I mean, that's,
and that book was the Bible. And then before it was the Bible, it was it was scrolls and it was writings on papyrus. And but it was we were starting to aggregate written text together, and it went through all sorts of technological transformations. And then it became books that everybody could buy. The book everybody could buy, and the first one of those was the Bible.
It's
and then it became all sorts of books that everybody could buy. But all those books in some sense, emerged out of that underlying book. And that book itself, the Bible isn't a book, it's a library. It's a collection of books.
One printed book.
And so what I figured out was, partly because I was talking to my brother-in-law, Jim Keller, who's like, watch this shit. The world's greatest chip Pearson's designer, and has now designed a chip that's as powerful as the human brain, which is optimized for artificial intelligence learning, by the way.
What?
And so I talked to him about that. And he said, you heard of the internet? I said, yeah, Jim, I've heard of the internet. He said, this is way more revolutionary than that. So in any case, we were talking about meaning in text because we were talking about translation and the problem of understanding text. And Jim said, the meaning of words is coded in the relationship of the words to one another. And the postmodernists make that case that all meaning is derived from the relationship between words. That's wrong because, well, what about rage? That's not words. And what about moving your hand? Well, that's not words. So it's wrong, but part of it's right because the meaning we derive from the verbal domain is encoded in the relationship between words. So now then you think, well, let's think about the relationship between words. Well, some words are dependent on other words. Some ideas are dependent.
Not the best clip.
Wait, I can't hear it.
I turned it off. I mean, just rambling on.
I was actually kind of following it. It seems like it kind of seemed like it was connecting to coherentism and Quine's web of belief. In the sense that, I mean, I don't think he was directly correlating it to that, but if he starts talking about beings, me and Pearson just have a 2-hour discussion on being. I think, it seemed like he was, I got the gist that it was kind of connected to coherentism, based on the belief that, like, nothing actually has any inherent meaning to it. It's just kind of, or it just goes more epistemology, but it's based on other beliefs you may have. Like, nothing is essentially meaning in itself. It's more of a connection to other beliefs and stuff.
We got Jordan Peterson on there for like 10 seconds and got like 5 more viewers.
He's talking about beans. Yes, Trevor. The meaning of beans. The meaning of
beans. Beans for me.
You're losing it right now.
I was thinking we could react to...
No.
Let's see. What could we react to? I was thinking that one...
Chomsky.
That one Chomsky interview or debate where they get so heated, they're like practically fighting each other. Have you seen that one?
Good. Did we watch that one?
I don't know. I'll pull it up.
Yeah. I was going to recommend memes, but beans.
Your chair meme.
Oh, yeah, the chair. I've just been like YouTube memes, but I think that one's good. The beans. Actually, a blunt sounds great. Just talking about beans all day. Dude, what I'm saying is not even like a...
The being of the being.
The being implies the non-being. The non-being without the perspective can imply the being. I don't know.
He's like, shut the fuck up.
but the being with the perspective cannot imply a being with another perspective because there's only one perspective. The non-being can't imply the being.
Lost me at bead.
The non-being...
Just joking, dude.
The non-being can imply the non-being because it's the semantics. Like, it doesn't have to be perspective. This just implies itself. But it can't work the other way around because you have a perspective. Anyway, your channel is great. Join when you were doing JCS stuff, but enjoying it even more now that you're branching out on different topics. That's cool.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Sorry, I'm here, but I'm doing all the troubleshooting and stuff, so thank you.
Jador says, so the being of a being... is a non-being. I'm trying to explain it, but if we're talking about being okay, so
he just sighs in disbelief.
The being,
our guests are,
if the being is a not real thing, it still has being. It's just the being of a non-being, if that makes any sense. Okay, it's the Zo-Zine before the Zine or the Nicht-Zine, I guess. Anyway, let's go to like, let's leave ontology for a little bit. You guys can just read some Husserl, Meinong, and Heidegger, and you guys should be set.
I don't know if that's fake hair or real hair.
Feel like a chicken or the egg, the bean or the sprout. It's very similar. What comes first?
1879 in September, and has continued ever since then. It is time for the Senate of the United States to support the Democrats.
Noam Chomsky, in a short speech to the U.S. Senate, why would you be again the country money?
Okay, so this is a debate between I can't remember his name and Noam Chomsky.
Can't remember his name.
Yeah, he's worthless, pointless. But essentially, he is saying a bunch of like, you know, BS about the Iran-Contra scandal. That is like, you know, essentially propaganda. And Chomsky is just coming at him with some cold, hard facts, and it gets pretty nasty. So I'll let you watch for yourself, and we'll react. And also, thank you, Nick Duhan, for that compliment.
What the fuck?
Union to Nicaragua are 150 battle tanks, or about 1,200 trucks and 300 ground air missiles.
What are the notion that it's a security threat to this country?
Well, it's not a security threat yet,
the boys looking for some beans.
Neither was Hitler a security threat when he suspended
the bean
all freedoms of the Germans in February 28, 1933. He wasn't even a security threat that was serious in 1936 when he rearmed the Rhineland. But by the time that the Allies got around to recognizing that he was a threat, it cost us tens
of
millions of lives.
Look how official he sounds.
And it took 6 years in which to defeat him. Now, at the present time, we can put an end to the Sandinista dictatorship in Central America without using a single American life. All we have to do is help pay for the firemen. There's a fire going on down there. We don't have to put the fire out, but we're asked to help pay for the firemen. If we wait and we decide to do nothing until the Soviets establish a land base there and it develops as it will develop.
Do you guys have the link to the bean video?
I just posted in the chat.
Okay,
it's a possibility of war. It is not a present threat, it is a vector. If people don't have sense enough to understand that a small fire in a room is a threat, not because it's a small fire, but because small fires have a way of becoming big fires, then we haven't learned anything from history.
It's Noam Chomsky's turn on the question of the security threat to the hemisphere to this country.
Well, to talk of Nicaragua as a security threat is a bit like asking what security threat Luxembourg poses to the Soviet Union. Yeah. Mr. Sober mentioned
so
Hitler. I'm old enough to remember Hitler's speeches in which he talked about the threat to Germany posed by Poland, from which Poland and Germany had to defend
itself. Hello, homeless in America.
And we're facing that kind of, even that's unfair to Hitler to draw that example. The fact is, if we want, it is quite true that Nicaragua is now Soviet-armed and heavily armed. And the reason is that it's being attacked by a superpower which has specifically blocked every other source of supply. Up until the May embargo last year, 20% of Nicaraguan trade.
And Chomsky was like so young,
block.
Even though he was like in his
16th
year.
Prior to that, his arms were coming from everywhere. We then blocked arms from everywhere else. As we intensify the war, they do exactly what the U.S. government wants them to do, namely they divert.
You're like cut off by Chomsky over there, Zach.
Bro, I'm used to it.
And they turn them
to I was trying to move it around, but
the idea that Nicaragua could attack it—the countries of I might add that the countries of Latin America—that's
so good.
Every country, all the Contadora countries, all the support countries, which include all of the relatively democratic countries in Latin America, are pleading with us to call off the war against the countries because they understand perfectly well exactly what it's doing. It's forcing them to be a militarized
Dude,
state,
like
and it's creating
right
a danger of a wider war in the region.
Know,
we want to get
the
Soviet tanks
right.
out of Nicaragua, and the Soviet advisors, and there are very few, the Cuban advisors out. What we should do
see you later,
is very simple, everyone in the government knows it,
see you,
call
man.
Off the war, and they will return to what they were doing
Chomsky.
Before we attack them, namely creating the most effective social reforms in the hemisphere, which were widely praised by the World
Look
Bank, the
face.
American Development Bank, organizations like Oxfam, which described
That's
them
squint.
As unique in their experience in 76 developing countries,
we're
and which we have retarded yeah. and stopped by this attack.
We were running so far over time that we might just as well keep going. I want you to deal with the question of democracy and our responsibility to aid
but
the cause.
Right.
You criticize the Sandinistas,
right.
but do you really want to embrace the countries?
By literally thousands of people who are opposing the Sandinista dictatorship. To try to write these people off as totalitarians and to come up with
That's
that trumped up nonsense about the atrocities that those people have committed is just a good example of doublethink. This is just a 1984 exercise by Mr. Chomsky for which he has already established a worldwide reputation.
What?
It's rubbish.
Mr. Chomsky, when you hear this call to come to the rescue of democracy and democratic forces, what do you answer?
I would be delighted if the United States were to reverse its longstanding policies of opposing democratic forces throughout Central America and begin to support those forces. Now, to return to Nicaragua and to return to the real world, I never described the Sandinistas as perfect Democrats or whatever your phrase was. What I did was quote the World Bank, Oxfam, other the Jesuit Order, and others who recognized that what they were doing was to use the meager resources of that country for the benefit of the poor majority. That's why health standards shot up. That's why literacy shot up. That's why agrarian reform proceeded, the only place in the region. That's why subsistence agriculture improved and consumption of food increased. Stuff. And that's why we attacked them. It had nothing to do with democracy. Now, I also did not say that Cruz
this other guy,
and Rubello
like, now, you wait a second, mister.
Cruz and Rubello sit in Washington and don't do anything. They're figureheads who we concocted. The people who commit atrocities are the Contra forces led by the National Guard. And of all the figures he mentioned, one is involved, namely Calero, who's an ultra-right-wing businessman and represents the extremist narrow business forces in Nicaragua. Now, if
straight
we
up does look like Clinton.
Concern with democracy, which we do not in our foreign affairs and never have, we would turn to countries where
Chomsky looks like such
like
a professor.
Yeah. Now, in El Salvador, they don't call the archbishop bad names. What they do is murder him. They do not they do not censor the press. They wipe the press out. They sent the army in to blow up the church radio station. The editor of the independent newspaper was found.
I'm
going to
screenshot this.
The pieces with machete. May I continue? I did not interrupt
you.
Don't
ever want to put a time value on anything you say.
Excuse
me.
That was 19. I'm talking about 1980.
You are a systematic liar.
These things happened, didn't they?
These things did not happen in the context in which you suggest at all. And when you suggest that Cruz is simply a figurehead and does nothing, you overlook the fact that Arturo Cruz was the ambassador of the Sandinistas to the United States.
And he is
and
always
he was the head banker of the Sandinistas
in
until
the United
he finally
States.
Broke with them
and
when
exactly.
he found out
Fine.
That they
Let's,
were utterly totalitarian. You are a phony, mister, and it's time that the people...
there you go. You are a phony, mister.
Why you want to divert me from the discussion that
no,
I...
No, it's not. Yeah, it's no,
but let me get tired of rubbish.
Excuse
me. Arturo Cruz, exactly as I said, was in the United States. He was brought.
Why was he in the United States?
He was brought to the United. He was in the United States, and he defected in the United States. He was brought back to Nicaragua to as a political figure because the business-based opposition there had no credible candidate. He did not participate in the elections as he could have, in part because of.
He couldn't.
May
he
I continue?
No, because you're lying again.
I got to cut you both
you
off.
I didn't say anything
the
yet.
The torpors were the ones who prevented Cruz from participating in the election.
I got to cut you both
that's
off.
That's another fabric. But let's
You've
continue
given,
with.
You know. Except we can't. I'm afraid we're out of time. You've given President Reagan a tough act to follow on Sunday night. We thank you both, John Silver and Noam Chomsky.
Wow. Yeah.
Of course, they cut him off right when Chomsky's going off.
Chomsky. Yeah, that's crazy. Yeah, that guy's a posh face or whatever. And it's like squint eyes, tighten your lips. Be like,
couldn't handle the truth.
Yeah, it's all about aesthetics. Yeah.
You feeling lucky, punk?
You feeling lucky, phony? God, that's yeah.
Phony.
Phony, because he called him a phony. Oh. Yeah. Yeah. How unfortunate.
Mister.
That's like that sucks.
Lucky Mister.
Yeah.
So Chomsky's going to be on the podcast in about a week and a half, or maybe. About two, yeah, less than 2 weeks away.
Yeah,
and then possibly based off of the whatever question I ask, I might use some of the footage of that in a video as well.
Yeah,
which would be cool.
Yeah, it's gonna be fun.
So follow Our Thoughts Tonight. I put the link in the description.
Noam Chomsky.
And Ishak, did you send the video?
I tried to. They didn't let me do a link for some reason.
Huh.
On
if you sent text it to me.
I mean, you just pulled up on Our Thoughts Tonight. I mean.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Yeah,
yeah I mean.
Okay, yeah, I'll send it. Yeah.
Or you guys can just go straight to. Well, we just.
I'll send it from the stream.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just Our Thoughts Tonight, the channel. And it should be the most recent one. Oh, yeah, no. Dude, Chomsky, man. I can't. It's kind of funny. Like. Nah, no, never mind. I don't know. It's just crazy sometimes when you like see
Mr. Beans.
Yeah,
for the win.
Mr. Beans for the win. I'm happy about all the support for Mr. Bean.
Is that you?
That's what they're calling me now. They're calling me Mr. Bean. I was talking about first of all, guys. I want to make sure I'm talking about being like B-E-I-N-G.
I know.
I know. I just want to clarify at this point. Because I switched to talk about beans, like actual B-E-A-N-S.
The beans.
The bean of an... Noam Chomsky and Bean. I should ask Noam Chomsky that. Like, okay, Noam Chomsky, what do you think about beans?
You're like a can of beans.
Yeah. A can of beans? Mean the boys looking for some non-bean.
That's the link to the bean video.
There you go. Oh my God. Oh my eyes.
Should we wrap it up?
Yeah, it's getting a little late.
Yeah.
Beans. Me and the boys looking for some beans. Oh man, that's crazy.
So, yeah. Final thoughts.
Yeah, whatever.
Fun.
Yeah, it was good. How you like your beans, Mr. Beans? I don't really.
You're famous now.
Oh God, I'm not Mr. Who knew? I'd be Mr. Bean. Dude, I don't. I rarely eat beans, man. Like
Chandler and the beans.
Chandler and the beans. I don't know, man. I don't even know what my favorite type of bean is. Yeah, I don't know, man. I like non beans. There you go. I like non beans. Non beans when they're bean. Not beans when they're beans are my favorite type of beans, man.
This is why you need to start a YouTube channel.
Yeah, I know.
Or just do the Our Thoughts Tonight one.
Yeah, well, I was actually going to upload that video onto a new channel, but I'm like, why did you just... I'm just going to put it on there instead.
Yeah.
So I might just do... Yeah, so if you guys want to listen to a consistent 5-minute ramblings on philosophy and perhaps a lot of bean talk...
He's your guy.
Yeah, you guys go follow the Our Thoughts Tonight thing. Is my favorite beingers. Have a good night.
Have a good night, El Sapo Verde.
Yeah, you've been good, man.
Good night.
Yeah, any final thoughts
for me? Yeah. I've got a video on Chomsky's support for anarcho single. Yeah, it's complicated.
Yeah.
But
I'm sure he does a better job defending.
It's complicated, but he talks quite a bit about it and why exactly in understanding power if you read that. But anyway, my final thought is I've got a new video coming out this week, not a live stream. So stick around for that, obviously. Probably by Tuesday, I think. It's about the Iran-Contra affair. So what they were talking about in this last reaction.
Yeah.
That's it.
Zach?
Yeah.
No, I already said my final thought.
What was it?
That live stream is fun.
Oh, it was pretty funny. Yeah, it'll be more organized next time.
Yeah.
It'll be more organized in the future.
Yeah.
So,
I guess my final, I guess I kind of said it too. Just go check out the Our Thoughts Tonight channel. Get that the channel beans. Growing. Yeah, yeah. Check out Beans and like.
Check out the Bean video.
I don't know.
Our Thoughts Tonight. Yeah. Chomsky will be on in a week and a half. Yeah.
All right. See everybody later.
Have a good night.
Our Thoughts Tonight. That was pretty dope.